Welcome everyone to the Flow Show. It is that time. Another very special guest today, episode number 198, with a message, of course, first from Club GG, where you can play for free and win hundreds of thousands of dollars of prizes in Make Your Own Poker Club. So with that being said, very special guest, something that's dear to my heart, a newfound, maybe most favorite hobby with padel. I'm going to let Peter Alonso tell us more about that and his whole journey, as well as being the number one ranked player he has been. And I know he's one of the best in the world, in the USA and all over. So we're going to have a lot to talk about. But Peter, thank you for the time.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you, my friend.
Yes, it's listen, we got to know each other recently. I've taken a few lessons. I'm very committed. I'm very excited about the sport, and it's growing. And there's so many amazing facilities that I've seen go up around Miami. And I know it's growing all over the world and country. And we're going to talk a lot about that. And Krishan Arora, big shout out to him for putting us in touch and getting to hang out. Krishan's also been on the podcast. So with all that said, tell me your whole life story in a couple minutes. Like, who are you? Where are you from? And how did you become the number one padel player in the United States?
Okay. So, well, my name, it's Pedro Alonso Martinez. Everyone calls me Peter, even in my house, even my friends. I'm from Spain, from Madrid. I was born in 88 in Spain. And I started playing padel 27 years ago in a summer house that I have in Marbella, in the south of Spain. Close my house, there was four padel courts. And it was a little sport in Spain. So, well, I started playing with 8 years old. And then I started competing in the junior tournament. So I won a couple of Spanish championship and world championships when I was junior. And then I became pro in 2009. I started playing the first circuit. It was called Padel Pro Tour. Then the next one was called World Padel Tour, and at the end is Premier Padel. So I played 13 years the worldwide tour, let's say worldwide, the first professional tour, let's say. And then I decided to move to US. So I moved, definitely I moved in 2000, in the 22. So I've been based here in Miami for 2 years. Right now, yeah.
Yeah, that's so tell me, how did you, why not tennis when you started? Why not, you know, pickleball? Was it just where you were? That was what's popular? Because this game seems like it's come out of nowhere. Padel has become like it's growing, I guess, maybe it's only second fastest to pickleball. Maybe you could give me some context on pickleball versus padel. What's the trajectory now in growing and how fast it went?
Well, I'm not 100% sure about the history of pickleball, but padel is not so young sport. I mean, it was created in the 60s in Mexico, but the truth is that padel wasn't popular there. So the big boom of padel, the first big boom, was in Argentina in the 90s. Everyone played padel. It was like the fastest growing sports over there. And then in the 2000s, it started to be the same in Spain. So the thing is that during a lot of years have been a really popular sport in Argentina and in Spain. So let's say like 10 years ago, more or less, started being more popular in Europe, in Middle East, something in South America. And maybe the during COVID, no, during the pandemic, I think was the rocket for padel. And now it's a real sport. It's the fastest sport growing in worldwide. And we, the people that have been a lot of time working on this sport, we're happy because we have good opportunities to grow up.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the Ultra in Miami that where we met, and now I see even where I was there 2-3 weeks ago, and what's just happened now, and the entrance change, and you know, it's like it's massive. It's just a huge property. How many? I mean, you could tell me how many courts are there. There's indoor. They're building the restaurant and spa. Looks like it's almost done. Could you tell me a little bit more about Ultra?
Yeah, Ultra is amazing. It's a real woof. It's a fantastic club. For me, it's going to be the best club in US. It's going to be for sure the biggest one. They are going to have 29 courts, 11 indoors, 18 outdoors. Also, they are going to have a spa, a gym, a fantastic restaurant, and a great vibes to be there. It's going to be like a place that you're going to feel for an hour and a half or 2 hours, or the time that you're going to spend there, that you're going to be like out of Miami, because it's like a different look and feel.
Yeah.
And the quality is great. One of the things that they are making, I think, a great job is that the quality of the courts, the quality of the place is insane, is the hospitality. So yeah, you are going to have a great feeling when you go there, because you're going to have a big team attending you, giving you towels, giving you advice, giving you drinks, whatever. So you are going to have a real, real good time.
And how fast is that? Because when I was there, I mean, they were literally throwing up courts, and I noticed here actually on the website, it says there's 3 indoor courts, 5 outdoor courts, and 1 single. But now, I mean, this was a while ago. There's a lot of court. I mean, is 30 or how many now courts are there?
Exactly. The thing is that right now they are changing because they are making the whole construction of the club. Okay. So they have like 3 different steps. As you saw, the first one that they kept out the blue courts. They put all the new red courts. They want the same look and feel. So everything is going to be with these red courts. Everything is going to be exactly the same. It's a beautiful and elegant place. And let's say that first step is done. Second step will be done in 1 month and a half, more or less. And the third one will say that more or less in 3 months, everything, the whole Ultra is going to be at the 100%.
Wow. Very, very cool. And what is your, how did you get in touch with, I got to meet the owners, the project, and they were there hands on around and seemed very, you know, they seemed like they knew what they were talking about. Obviously it's an ambitious project too, with so many courts, but I guess I was realizing who got me into Padel, and then how many people I've told about it. And it does seem like why it grows so fast. Cause it's, you don't need much, right? The courts are there for you. You book it, you need a racket and a couple friends, and you have a game. It seems like there's so many different courts and places now, though. Do you think the supply and demand, do you feel that these courts are going to be full, and that this is that there's enough? Because there's some beautiful projects going around, even just in this area.
Yeah, well, during these years in Miami and in Florida, now padel is a really, really known sport. Everyone loves to play. Why? Because it's an easy sport to start having fun at the beginning. Yeah. Then when you are improving, you get better, and you have like different feelings in the court, playing with the glass, going to the net with a good lap. Like you have, like it's a complete sport. And then if you look at a professional match, it's an exhibition. I mean, it's an absolute show. So that's why I think that it have everything. For example, in Spain, more than 7 million of players we have. Okay. And it's also a sport that the 45% of the people that plays in Spain are women. So I think there is no other sports having the same results. So
it makes so much sense. I want to hear your explanation, because if you were to, someone's watching this and they're like, you know what, I don't want to just go on the treadmill. I don't want to run. I want some cardio. I want to exercise. How would you, and they're like, I want maybe a racket sport, maybe play soccer, maybe that, like, how would you say to someone why you believe, you know, let's take a 40-year-old woman, mother, let's take whatever, anyone over, you know, who's wants to be athletic, why is padel the better, would you recommend or prefer to say that versus tennis or I'd say it's kind of in the middle, right, of tennis and pickleball. That's sort of how I look at it. But what, to explain to me how you would tell them this is what you think's better.
I tell you about my experience of all these years. Paddle has that in one first day, second day, you're having fun. Mm-hmm. Then that fun, that tennis is a difficult sport. I mean, I see people playing and old people playing tennis, making lessons, and I mean, and I see that it's one ball and never is going back. And in paddle, you are going to have the chance because I mean the space is a little bit closer. Yep. But at the same time, it's more sport than pickle because first of all, the rackets are a little bit heavier. The ball, the pickle ball, is a plastic ball. A paddle ball is really, really similar than a tennis one, so they have pressure. So I mean, it's and then when you go growing and you go learning a little bit more, it's a fast sport. And also it's a really social sport. So right now, one of the things that I mean in the whole world works in paddle is the paddle community. So when you go inside the paddle community, there is something that you love to share, that is this sport, but at the same time, you always have four players in court that makes available to have that, you know, that type of community. And they always say that the best part of the paddle is the beer after the match, you know?
Yeah.
And also it's a sport that you can play 1 hour and you do your workout, you feel that you are okay. And then you can have your drink with your friend, blah, blah, blah. And maybe you are out of your house 2 hours. Maybe I'm a golf player. I know you also. Yep. I love playing golf. I promise you, I love it. And but you need more. You need a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So in our world that we have our tiny time for us, I think it's a really good option.
Yeah, that's well said. And these courts are really cool. I mean, I guess one of the differences with padel is, there is a cage, there's glass. It's the pickle is a lot easier, right? There's a tennis court you have. You can just kind of like redo the lines, and it's so the cost, it's simpler. I'm looking here. I know Portico. These are really cool, and one of the leaders in the industry that you're involved with. And I think they do the ultra courts, if I'm not mistaken. Tell me about this and how, if someone, what a court cost sort of, and how you get that. Is this worldwide? Is this in the U.S.? What is this company?
Yeah, well, we have the distribution of this court. It's Portico. It's one of the best in the world. The manufacturer, they have their place in Spain. Okay, so we make the shipping to here. Here we have a warehouse where we have product. Okay, and then we have our U.S. team that provides everything: the quotation of the courts, the installation, and all the things that can be or may be helpful for making one court. So we are really happy with this. We are growing fast. Now we see that US is starting like opening the eyes for paddle, okay?
Yeah.
Because years before was only Miami and a little bit maybe Florida, but right now, for example, we have places in whole Texas. We have in San I had quotations in San Antonio, in Dallas, Austin. We have also Chicago. We have Washington D.C.
Wow.
We have they ask also in Toronto, the West Coast. Same. I heard San Diego, near Beverly Hills, Los Angeles.
Wow.
So every time is like getting a little bit more popular, more popular, more popular. And what I see is that me and our team every time is like, okay, before we were calling like every time and say, well, maybe one. Now we have the calls back and it's like plus 10. And every time is like people is interested. to know about a little bit our industry, to try to make some business, because right now, what I believe is that the next 5-10 years in US are going to be really profitable for our industry.
Yeah. And you now, if you could explain with your playing versus coaching versus business, how do you kind of break up your time? Because I want to understand the economics of the tour. You know, you're the number one ranked player in the US, or if you could maybe share a bit about how much time, how many different tournaments are you going to, what kind of prize money is involved, and how does that all work?
Well, actually, I became number one in the USPA, is the US Tour. Okay, I play another private tour that is called Red Padel also. But well, my decision of coming to US, I was in a moment in my career that I felt I want to change. I need a change. Okay, new opportunities. During my career, I started developing some business around padel. And I felt that it was my time, okay? So my timing was coming here. And the reason why I started playing the tour, it was because with a good position in a tour, I can become a little bit more known. And also I can explain my different areas or my different business. So with our business, we can grow more, okay? That was the first reason. Then I came, thanks God, I've been with good health. I've been playing good. For sure, the tour in US is so far the one that I was used to play, the World Tour. So I became number one without training a lot, let's say. Then now, for example, I'm in a moment that I feel I need to train hard, because now people starting to play better. The prize money increases each year. Mm-hmm. So, my life right now is not like before, that I used to train 4 or 5 hours. Right now, I train with my clients because I have, as you know, mm-hmm. I have different clients that I train them. Not more than 10 hours per week I have them. Then I train by myself 2 or 3 days with my personal trainer in the gym. Mm-hmm. And then I play some matches. But let's say that in my personal case, my life is not 100% as a pro padel player. So let's say that per day I will be inside court and training, blah, 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 4 or 5 hours. And I will have more than 4 hours working in my different business.
Makes a lot of sense. And what do you enjoy more? Is it training yourself? Is it coaching? Is it the business side? What do you enjoy the most? Spend your time with this in the industry?
Well, it's changing a little bit, you know. I love to play, for sure. I mean, it's my passion. It has been my life. But I'm learning a lot with business. I have a great partners, business partners. They are awesome entrepreneurs. So also, I love to learn in this life. No, I think that the experience makes you better every time. And learning about different business and different types of how they manage the things, how we can grow up. And for sure, we are right now in a really blue ocean here. We have competitors, but we are in a good position. We came the first ones here. We have the number one worldwide brands by our side, like, yep, for example, Siux, Padel Nuestro Group.
I know that racket. Yeah. That's my racket.
Yeah.
I do notice a difference. How big a deal is the racket quality? I mean, it's just like any sport, the equipment, you want to have sort of the best. Could you tell me like what a big, like a big, the difference between the, just a basic racket and the racket? I'm curious what that matters, how much.
Look, you have different type of rackets, okay? The price is going to be between like $70 or $80, the really basic ones, up to $400, $400 something, the really good ones. How you use their, I mean, how they make the rackets? There are different types of how do you say of in Spanish is molde. It's like the this is more round. Other one can be a little bit more diamond, you know.
Yeah.
And then they use a special rubber inside. It's called EVA rubber of different density. And then how they cover? There are different materials, but the one that are really good materials, let's say that is carbon fiber, okay, of different density also, or how they engage, know that.
Yep.
And you also have in Spanish is fibra de vidrio, that is glass fiber, I think.
Okay.
So you have like different qualities, and well, for sure, it's if you want to start at the beginning and you don't have too much money to invest, or you don't want to invest so much money, you can have up to $100. You can have a decent racket. If you want to have a really really good racket like you, for $400 more or less, you can have $350, $400, you have all the weapons of the market.
The problem with that, then you can't have as many excuses on a bad shot. That's my problem.
Well, exactly.
I want to say, yeah, nowhere you got the good equipment, you got to perform. So no, it is cool. It's nice. It's very, very exciting to see so many. I mean, I would imagine you're getting a lot of access to interesting people because you're known and regarded as one of the best coaches. Obviously, you're very nice guys. Everyone will find out as they're getting to know you better here and watching the podcast. But you get to kind of get people that come that want to be the best. Have you gotten to meet some really interesting people? Any people that you've been surprised how like they're, you know, someone you might know of, and they come and then they're just so into padel where they're like almost stopping their own main work and they want to just focus on this because it is addicting a bit, right? It's fun. I mean, you don't want to stop. Have you met, give me some people, some like kind of more well-known people you've gotten to work with that really like the game.
Thank you so much for your words. Yeah, for sure. I have a good opportunity here being number one. And well, I have good friends that good friends talks good about me, that makes people wanted to start working with me. What I have is experience, and I studied a lot. I've studied a lot of my sport, so I communicate this in my way.
Yeah,
the people likes it, and the people repeats. For example, the other day, Jeff, this I didn't tell you, but I played on, today is Friday, it was last Saturday, I played with Andre Agassi and David Beckham.
It's a good mix. Good guy. Are they good players? I imagine Agassi is very good, but how about Beckham?
Well, actually, Andre Agassi, they invite me. Wayne Boss invited me at his place. So, I went to play with them. And Agassi, it was his first day playing padel. First
no
day.
Way. Wow.
Yeah, I promise you. First day, because he's a big pickle player.
Okay.
But he loved it. He really loved it, and for sure, I can tell you, first day, I was shocked how he played. Really good.
Okay, to give the audience an example of Andre Agassi, one of the greatest of all time in tennis, obviously he's been out of the game a little bit or not playing at the professional level, but are you going to beat him every time just because of like the angles and the game's completely different? Is it that you're the number? How does he compare? If you're 100... What is he?
Yeah, for sure, because it was his first day.
Right.
Maybe if Andre Agassi has been playing for 2 years every day, it's a different movie, you know?
Right.
But yeah, for sure, we are really far. And the tennis and padel are racket sports, but they are not the same. They, you know, so a really good padel player is going to beat a good tennis player 6-0, 6-0, and the opposite in a tennis court.
Yeah.
So
Beckham, who's been playing, I know he plays.
Yeah.
Is he with better than Agassi on the first day, or is that like kind of close?
No. He had played more often. I had the privilege to give him a lesson of 1 hour and a half time ago. But the other day I was surprised, and I say, David, you're improving hard. Yeah. And, you know, I love to play also with these kind of people because not only about because they are famous and blah, blah, because how they have been like insane athletes.
Right.
So they have a different mindset. So when they go inside a court, they want to compete and they want to learn. And you see that in this kind of people.
The
The mentality. Or, for example, I train also, that is a really big, big, big friend of mine, Ronnie Saikali.
Yeah, I met him the other day. Tall.
Yeah,
tall,
I just saw him.
Obviously, played in the NBA. How what's the perfect build? You know, a swimmer has a build, a basketball player should be tall. What's like what would you say is like the ideal?
I would say similar than tennis, 185. I say in centimeters, sorry, but yeah. 185, 190 more or less. I think it's like the Djokovic. Djokovic is 185.
Six foot one.
Okay. I think that is a good balance between that you are flexible, you are available to have a low center of gravity and be like fast, and also you're tall, so you can cover more court when you have a lob or when you cover the net. So more or less, I would say that inches.
Interesting. Okay. Very interesting. And
Ronnie, for example, Ronnie is enormous. I don't know. He's like 2 meters 10 or something like that. You saw him the other day, but he's a great guy, and he played NBA a lot of years. And again, his mindset is different because he's a sportsman.
Right. He's going for every shot. He wants to win. He's engaged.
They need to win. They if they lose, they are so upset. So they make everything for the win. So I love to train that people that, you know, that feels that, because they make the 100% with you.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I'm genuinely curious. So I know the rating system. I see like when on these very cool app, by the way, Play by Point, I believe it is. That's awesome how they. It's really, really nice app, and they ask you for your rating. I have no idea. I have a general guess, but like what it's till 5 or 10. What is the rating system?
It depends. It depends on the APP and also where you are. Because imagine now the level here is so far at the level of Spain. You can use the same app. But if in Spain you are a 4, for example, you come here, maybe you're a 6, the level is
true in other things in life too, in other categories or parts of the world, you know, with you could exactly. It's a little off caliber. All right, give me in the U.S. You know, give me just using some high profile names. Give me like a rating to 5. Give me like Beckham, Agassi, Andrew Schultz, I see played, and then tell me like they're like me, for example. Like I have no idea, because sometimes I go out there and I, you know, someone's a beginner, I know I'm better, and then there's times I get in there and you can tell right away
but
when a guy's better than you. You know,
I would like to understand the rating system, okay, of the app. But we'll say 0 to 10, okay, more or less 0 to 10. We'll say that you're starting, no? You're at the beginning. Let's say that you are with a 3, okay, more or less.
I was hoping a little higher than that. I'll take it though. A 3, that's okay.
We need to improve, but it's okay. Let's say that David would be 6.
Oh, really? He plays good. That's good though. I mean,
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Andre will be more than 6 soon.
Yeah.
Ronnie will be, I would say, 6, 7, more or less.
Wow. Okay.
But maybe, I mean, I'm giving numbers like this.
Yeah, you're just kind of going off randomly.
Maybe we need like 50 numbers, you know?
Yeah, attributes like FIFA. You need a ranking, speed, accuracy, all these things. Okay, interesting. Wow, that's then the top guys are, you know, like what separates? Give me some attributes that make a great padel player. Like what are some of the things you really look at? Like serve and strength, endurance. What are things you're really focused on?
You have to be a complete player, but first of all, you have to learn how to play, okay? Because padel is similar than chess. It's not an instant game where you, with all the winners, you're going to win it. Or in tennis, maybe it's more ABC. Padel, you have much more different ways to play, okay? So the first advice that I make always is that I say that the one who wins is the one who less mistakes make, right? So first of all is to quit the unforced errors. Mm-hmm. Second, how to quit the unforced errors? To be always in a good position in court with the tactic position, okay?
Yeah.
And then you have to improve your offensive shots and try to be as long as you can having the net place. The net position is the one that you're going to win the 80% of the points. Okay. So you need to know how to cover good that net. You need to know when they lob you how to make the correct overhead, because it's not the same to make a bandeja or a defensive overhead to get against the net, or that make an offensive one. So I can say that I played with people that maybe has more winners than me, more athletics than me, but they are not going to win me because I know how to play them. So yeah. It's not only about the shots. It's not only about the technique. It's also about how you play, which is your choice with each touch, and how you can play. Because I can play in a lot of different ways depending who's my opponent. So yeah. I can play a little bit faster if the guy is slower. If the guy is faster than me, I will try to put a little bit of different speed and the lob. I would change the lob also depending on my opponents, how I play the lob. A fast one, a high one. You have a different.
Right. I think that's what's so interesting, because if you have the full package, you can immediately look at someone and that's part of it, right? If you have all the tools in the kit, you can. Yeah, you have that the big shot, or you know how to. It's interesting to see, because there are such unique skill sets. I've noticed when I play with people, I'm like, wow, this guy's got an amazing serve, but he's not very mobile, or this guy doesn't care about the serve, but he's like so technical. So yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And the more tools you have, the better you can sort of curate your game. So that's a great point. I got to ask you about Olympic sport. I'm shocked, because Olympic sports are moving, right? They change. There's sometimes that they drop this, they add stuff, and you gotta would believe this is going to be an Olympic sport soon. It's the fastest growing sport in the world. Like, is this on the radar coming up here? It says, you know, not Olympic sport. When do you think that will change? Is there anything that's sort of already been talked about on that?
Yeah, there is. All these years have been there is information about or information or I mean, the people speaks about it, no? So let's say, and now the last conversation I had with people that is really involved is that it's really close, okay? It's really close. At the beginning, to be an Olympic sport, I think they have to be like an exhibition sport first year, okay? And then, but it makes all the sense. I mean, it's the fastest growing sport in the world. I think that right now you have all that federations that and the Olympic Committee ask for, and you have now infrastructure all around the world that makes it possible. So it makes all the sense, and let's hope that will happen soon.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to give an over-under, this Olympics is this year in France, Paris, Is it the next one? Is it two away? It'll happen. You're sure it'll happen, but you know when. When do you believe? What would be your guess?
I believe that is not this one, the next one.
Right. Well, yeah, this one's art. Yeah, we're here right now. So, okay, wow, that is that soon. I do see a note here as I'm reading that was in the 2023 European Games, and the International Paddle Federation wants to have 75 national federations in Olympic sport for the 2032. So yeah, maybe one before, maybe after. And I'm seeing the cost
between
60 and 80,000. That seems high. I thought it was like 40, 50, 30, something like that. Is this a more estimate?
No. It's cheaper. I mean, for example, in my case, that we have the one of the biggest quality, let's say that if it's a car, let's say that we have BMW, Mercedes, more or less, mm-hmm. okay? More or less, we'll say that in Spain, I mean, I can have it between, let's say, 35, 40, more or less, a court with the best material, with the best turf, everything. So maybe what you see, I mean, it's a little bit,
spruced up. And are you noticing more individual courts now? Are people putting them at their houses more? Is this becoming a very popular thing?
Not so popular. The ones that are individual. For example, in Spain, they started building them, like let's say 10 years ago. So it was really, really known, the normal paddle. And I mean, I think that for starting or having fun at the beginning is okay. But after that, I don't like it a lot because the truth is that paddle is that cage, okay, is like this. The 80% of the times, my shots are going to be cross. So a cross shot, the rebound is different. The way that is coming the ball also is different. And when you play in a single court, it's more straight every time. So you have less possibilities to play. But for sure, it's a good idea. For sure, it's something to beginners, or you can go with your wife and have fun, for sure. In my case, for me and for the pro player or whatever, we prefer training in a normal court cross-to-cross than in an individual court.
Makes a lot of sense. But I'm saying, are people actually, individuals, like getting the regular big size court at their homes, or are you seeing it pop up in a lot of like more courts? Individuals are like building it at their houses.
Yeah, they have both of them now in Miami. It's insane. No, I have three clients with on court. I know like three new courts right now. And now, for example, I have an event in a pro-am in 2 weeks in Beverly Hills. And imagine the pro-am, only the pro-am, we are going to play in five houses, in five different houses. So,
It says three courts Padel can fit in a tennis court. Is that, I thought it would, I mean, two makes sense. Is that, I guess you'd put it sideways? Is that how?
No, I mean, actually, I would say that more two, or if you have two tennis courts, maybe you can fix five. But a padel court is 200 square meters, okay?
Yeah.
A tennis court, let's say that 600 square meters, more or less, no, and with everything. So you can't build everything like this, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the space, I would say that if you have a tennis club, imagine that this, I'm absolutely sure that it's going to happen in the next years. This is another thing that I would like to talk with you about what I think is going to happen next years in the U.S., with paddle. I think the next years, with all that infrastructure that US has with tennis club, insane tennis club of 30 courts, 35 courts. I mean, that is, and now what is happening that they started to say, okay, there is a new business that is called pickleball. We have to see like a new business. So we are going to start having some tennis courts in pickleball courts, so we have new clients and new ways. Okay, so what I think is that in a few years it will going to happen the same with paddle. They are going to change some tennis courts in paddle courts, and at the end, these big tennis facilities of 10 years ago, they are going to become two racket facilities. Okay, that racket facilities, you are going to have the possibility of play tennis, pickle, or paddle. It's what I'm absolutely sure that is going to happen in the next years.
And does it make more sense to keep it separate or to have like a pickle facility and a paddle, or like separate them, or do you like sort of a mix around mix of it, or it just depends?
I mean, it depends of what you do or what you want. Imagine if I know my industry, okay? I'm an expert about my industry. So if I make a club, an old club in a new place, I would choose to make a paddle club because I know what I do. Other thing is that if you say, "Oh, Peter, we have a concession of a tennis club, and we have this and this and this," of course, I think it's a good idea to share it. Yeah. You're going to have more clients, different clients that they are going to know new sports, because there is going to happen that a lot of people that doesn't know paddle is going to know paddle because it's going to go to a tennis club that they have a paddle court. Maybe if it's not that tennis club with a paddle court, he will not come directly to a only paddle club. So, you know, so I think it depends a little bit on what business do you want, if you want to separate a little bit, if it's a new business, if you have facilities before and you can start making different things. So it depends in the case.
Very interesting. And the owners at Ultra, did they approach you? How did you get, there's so many cool spots. How did you decide on Ultra, and how did that come together? And can you tell me about the owners a bit and their vision?
Yeah, I tell you about the owners. They are from France. It's Warren Barthes. He's an amazing entrepreneur, and he has really, really clear what he wants to develop. Mm-hmm. They want to develop more than 30 clubs in 5 years. And so it's a really ambitious project. We are talking for me to be like the image, okay? Like, yep. So I will be the ambassador of Ultra, and for sure I will be also taking care of the club in decisions and all this stuff that I will love to share to make Ultra a better brand and to make the Ferrari of the paddle brands.
Very cool. And how much room is there for, for funding, investment? Is this like, do they have it all sort of sorted out? I mean, because it just seems like it's endless. You go to Houston or Dallas or Austin, like there's so many pockets. I would imagine Texas is popular, going to get popular, you know, just based on, or Arizona, right? That the weather, the climate, sort of the Latin culture, there's more, you know, it's more close to the border. And as you mentioned, Miami's been popular for a long time. It just seems like it's like endless, scalable. Is it sort of like a rush to the brands and to get to these places, or do you think there's just so much time and out, like there's just so much people love it and they're discovering it that it's not really a rush to get them out and you know, first in market?
No, what I think is like I have it really clear. I mean, for sure, of course, I don't have a yeah. crystal ball, and yeah. I know the future, no, but there is a moment that paddle is going to be a rocket in the US. It has been a rocket worldwide, and US with all the consumer that you have in US and all the people that love sport and more, because it's a really dynamic sport, and in the pro place, you know, that is a big show. So I think it's everything going to make possible that it will become a real, real, real thing in US. Also, there is a big, big, big entrepreneurs, big brands that are starting to put the eyes in US and also the money. Okay, so you have you're going to have a lot of investors in the paddle world, and well, what I saw about how you put the course and everything, I would say that US, if I compare it, I can compare it to Europe, because each state works different with the laws, with even the geographic is so different. No, Miami than Utah, for example, or Washington or whatever. So I would say that I compare, for example, Florida, maybe Spain, and then Washington or whatever, let's say it's Germany, for example, okay? So, well, what Ultra wants to make is the same look and feel everywhere. But maybe for sure, if we make an Ultra club in Canada, we will have an Ultra indoor club. Right. Because we will need that facility because the weather is going to be so cold and it's going to snow during the winter. Then in Texas, well, we'll see. So in each case, the club will have different, I mean, different, how do you say, components, right, but with the same look and feel. So what we want or what we want is, Jeff, if we go tomorrow to Toronto and we have a club, that when you go inside that indoor club, suddenly it's like, wow, I'm here again.
Yep.
That you feel like I'm in Miami or wherever.
Right. Yeah, that's, it's a template, a replica. You know what you get. You go there, it's not, you're not guessing. There's the good showers, good spa, good restaurant, good coffee. It's exactly a whole deal.
The hospitality, great, everything, taking care of everything. So that's the idea.
Very, very, very exciting. It just seems like such an emerging market, and it's got to be cool to see like something that started from a young age, you've been passionate about, as you said, now it's sort of just like lifted off and it just, there's so much possibility. How do you choose your partner for, because it's a doubles game, as you said, it's not really a single match, like you don't see that, or that's not the normal version. So like, tell me about how many different, let's say, since you've been number one, that also mean your partner's number one, or you're ranked number one, or how does that work?
You know that we know each other for when you play good, or even when I used to play the worldwide tour. Imagine I had plenty of partners. So here I play also almost all the tournaments with one big friend of mine that is called Jacobo Blanco. That he has been living in Panama for 1 year and a half, but he just signed a deal with a big group of paddle clubs. It's called Tactica, and he just moved 1 week ago to San Diego.
Okay.
He became the head coach of Tactica. Tactica right now they have like seven venues.
Yeah.
And they are also growing up in the West Coast. So Jacobo is taking care of that. He has a good work. And well, if he's not available, then maybe it's a tournament that he can't play. I play, for example, with Maxi. Maxi Rojas is a guy from here that plays really good. So that's why the ranking is individual, because I don't play the whole season with my partner. If I would play, imagine that I end number one and I play with you and we play all the tournaments together at the end of the year. In the rank, you would say 1-1, and the next one will be 3. So we say Jeff 1, Peter 1, and then the third one, the one that we bet.
Makes a lot of sense. But okay, and so that's. But typically, what do you look for in a partner? Is there sort of like, you know, your skill set, you try to complement with it, or is it just really you want the best complete player? Because that seems like
For sure, you want to win. That's the first thing. Okay. Yes. The first thing I want is to win. So we have to study the best possibility to make that win possible. For sure, it has to be a great player. The moment is, for example, I know my moment in my career that I am right now. I'm really, really happy with Jacobo because we know each other perfectly. We know what we do. I believe, he's a really, really big competitor. When it's a hot ball during the match, I really believe in him. I know he's not going to make an unfortunate error. He knows the same with me. But let's say that in 2 years, because I'm playing at the backside of the court right now. Left side. Let's say that maybe in 2 years we feel that, okay, I'm 38, he's almost 40, and I feel that I need energy. Maybe it's a possibility. So maybe I need to ask for a new partner with 22 years, 21. Yeah.
What
maybe is not age? so
What is the prime age? What in soccer and basketball? I mean, I imagine similar, but is there a padel? Is it a little more room to be older and be great, or what's the age like?
I would say between 25 and 32 is okay. Going to be the premium age. But for example, number one of the world, that is Arturo Coelho, has 21. Also you have that cases, right? Yeah. Like in Texas,
he could be there for a long time then, right?
Exactly. Yeah. One guy that like Arturo, if everything is okay, I mean, if he has health and everything, yeah. He will be there for the next 15 years.
What type of injuries are common in padel versus like pickleball and tennis? Because yeah, I've noticed I have a 1-year-old as well and a 5-year-old, but I'm carrying my 1-year-old. Sometimes he's very heavy. I that probably doesn't help, but I have noticed playing a lot of padel that my lower back kind of hurts. Maybe yeah. Some of the movement and the stretching. What are some common injuries and what can you do?
Lower back for sure, because you have been playing and you know that when you play at the backside of the court, you have a lot of rebounds after glass and you have to. So let's say this is the back, you're making like this a lot of times, no? A lot of repetitions. Mm-hmm. So probably the worst part is going to be the back, mm-hmm. Maybe the knees a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you're stepping and you do a lot of step and go, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And let's say that too, sometimes can happen some problem with the elbow. Like tennis elbow,
yeah.
But well, it's not so common, but can happen. And for example, me in my case, I've been playing all my life. I have one knee that I have in Spanish chondromalacia. I don't know the name. I had a surgery here in my wrist in 2017 because I crashed against a glass, and then I have my back with one herniatic disc. But it's not that I went to war. It's that I've been playing so much hours over my life, and this is going to happen to every guy that spend the same hours as me in all different sports.
And in the skill gap, right, versus tennis, like it's the serve is so important, and like you're just going to get crushed by someone. Like is it fair to say that? Like what? At what point is the gap too much? Like, should a 2 not play with the 5? Should a 7 not play with the 4? Like, where does it not get fun? How do you want to try to like match up teams or players? You know,
I love people that play similar.
Yeah, for
that's,
sure.
That's the best thing. But to nivellate, you say?
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand. Like, if like you said, I'm a 3, and you know, I don't know, 6. Beck, let's just say that example.
Yeah.
Like, am I? You know, you saw me play a little. We and Krishan and Danny, we were out there. You know, like, are we going to get crushed by like a Beckman and Agassi? Like, crushed? Like, won't win a game? Or is it like enough to like you can? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, at this today, like, would it just be not fun?
Well, at the beginning, it's like. I mean, it's a little bit difficult because if it's a, let's say that, for example, when I play pro-ams, okay, that is different levels. 2 5s are much better than 1 9 and 1 1.
Right, because you're just going to attack the 1, of course.
Exactly. Yeah, because the 1 is going to serve, it's going to receive, and every time you're going to try to go with him. Yeah. The other guy plays amazing, he's a talented guy, but. He's not God, you know.
Yeah.
He can be everywhere. So he's not like with one gun. I'm going to shoot and the point ends every time. So it's much more it's easier you to play with another guy that plays more or you.
Yep.
That with a worse one and a better one.
And let me ask. I'm curious on the strategy. Left or right? So if say you're with your friend and you guys are like you're playing. And let's use me. Let's say I'm a 3. Let's give me a 3.5. Let's say I'm a 3.5.
Yeah.
And then my friend's a 2.5, but or 3. They have 3.5 and 3. Technically, would it be better for me to be on the left side because of like I'm extended? Like I get to
100%. 100%. At these levels, 100%. Because usually the stronger player or the left hand, the one that plays at the left is covering a little bit more court. Why? Right. Because the smash and the forehand is on the middle for the guy that plays on the left. So you have more space to cover. Okay, so you can tell the other guy. You go here. For example, me in a pro-am, if I need to win because it's big money on the match,
yeah.
I would say to my partner, he can tell me, hey Pete, I usually play on the left side. I say, okay, I'm sorry, you have to go
not
to
today.
The right.
Not today. Not today. Bro.
Exactly. Then not today, bro.
You're right.
You wanna win? Yes. Yeah. Okay, go to the right. It's the only way.
Yeah. Okay. That's my question. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. And very, very interesting. And what is your, what do you think is the most exciting part of the sport right now? Is it that there's a new, you know, big prize money coming to, there's some, you know, in the Middle East, there's Saudi, like crazy tours coming. Is it like, wow, this is going to be a big deal coming.
You know what? For sure. The best thing that is happening right now is that it's going so crazy that you have a lot of different opportunities.
Yeah.
So it's not only about the Saudis are going to spend $2 million right now doing this exhibition. It's that also in Latin America once, also in US once. So everything, I think we are in a great moment because there is a new opportunities, new tours. For example, this cup that I have, Bella, is a team that I own. Well, I'm the general manager. It's a kind of, let's say, like a labor cup in tennis. So we have one big event during the year, and then like two or three satellites. But look, the owners of the teams are Eva Longoria, Rafa Nadal, Andy Murray, Robert Lewandowski. Now next year is going to have one team, Max Verstappen. So
yeah,
there are all big personalities that they are going into. So it's a new thing. It's one tournament, but look who are behind these teams. This is amazing. Now it's the Pro Padel League. Daddy Yankee has one team. Juan Martín del Potro is with another. So this makes our world much more popular. And you see, every time it's like new stuff. For example, Jeff, in my case, what I'm making right now, I have one company of events. And I think it's a great, great, great thing. I'm making corporative events here.
Wow.
For different companies. So imagine we are talking with Banco Santander, with KPMG, with Fundación Real Madrid. They want to make so for me it's really, really exciting to make these corporate events. At the same time, I have the opportunity to go with Bella team. At the same time, I go to Beverly Hills to play a pro-am. At the same time, so it's a busy times. It is busy times, but wonderful times. Wonderful times. So
yeah.
So every day you're going to feel like, or every month, let's say every month, I can tell you like three new things that they want to make.
That's awesome. So, and do you see some sort of like some sort of mega complex, which is sort of happening at Ultra, but with a partner like a Pura Vida, you know, that's their new locations everywhere. I know the Reserve, they have a Pura Vida sort of stand in there. There's some high-end coffee opportunity. I see you guys have like a coffee section there, but like full blown, you know, like cafe, spa, all this. Do you see that sort of level, like a restaurant being in every location, or is that not really?
I think they are starting more with that concept right now. Yeah. And actually, I'm close friend of Omer. He's the owner of Pura Vida. I train him.
Yeah.
He's,
tell him to get one in Key Biscayne, man. Can you call a favor in for me, Pura Vida Key Biscayne?
Yeah. Well, I can tell him. I will tell him next day.
Please.
And I think that kind of concept of, let's say, luxury complete place, no, that you can have your spa, your gym, your paddle, your coffee, your co-work place.
Yeah.
If you want to be a little bit, if you have a meeting, let's do it there. This is starting to happen. It's happening here more. I've seen different ideas, different designers, and what all the things that I'm seeing right now looks good. The only thing is that let's say that maybe they have to be careful when it's too much of the same offer. Because we are not saying about only one paddle court. We are saying about it's a big investment. Because when this type of venues goes up, you need memberships. You need that. I mean, in that memberships, it's a big money monthly for the people. And when it's one, when it's two, when it's three, it's okay. But if you have 10... Yeah. I'm not 100% sure if all of them are going to be profitable.
Right. Yeah, it starts
to
be...
So maybe it's a little bit risky and maybe it's a good option. Then who is going to survive if, let's say, that they are not going to be busy, all of them? The ones that are going to survive is the one that most professional hospitality, professional paddle players, events... makes locations also, so there is like different ingredients to have it clear. And if not, US is enormous, so sometimes I think that maybe the problem is that the people is looking in the same location, the same stuff. Yeah. So maybe a good option is to open a little bit the eyes and say, okay, maybe it's not the time to go here because this already happened. Maybe let's go here to look because, I mean, the cake is enormous, but the same piece of cake is not so enormous.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It's also... Yeah, you start getting a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of people with different visions of things that think it's, I could see how it could get complicated, right? And in practice, it seems like an amazing thing, but it could be, it's not necessarily so simple to just say, okay, Pure Vita, okay, you know, this coffee brand, okay, this, we're going to do this everywhere and you're coming into everything. Because as you said, it is kind of nice if you know what you get. If you, it's like people travel to LA, they travel to Miami, they're in Houston, they're in Austin. And if they're like, well, I actually know Ultra is there and I'm a member, or I am able to get in and I just can show up and I know what they have. I know I can shower. I know I can work there. I know I can get a
100%.
It's nice if you have
Jeff, all that. 100%. This is like, if you like Cipriani or if you like Soho or you're a member of Soho, I go to New York and I know that I'm going to go to my Soho and I'm going to feel at home, you know? So that's the idea, to make some clubs here in Miami, in Florida, for sure. But the idea is that when you go to San Francisco, when you go to Austin, or when you go to Washington, you have the possibility to go to your home, to your place, and you feel great in there.
That's awesome. Well, listen, I know, again, Peter, we could talk forever. I have so many questions and even things I just keep thinking about. And it's, I actually run one last one's kind of random. I'm just curious on the ball, because the ball is very similar to tennis, different than pickleball. What is the actual, can you explain the difference between tennis and padel?
Yeah, they are really, really similar. The padel ball is little bit heavier than a tennis one. Because, inside a tennis ball, inside the hair of the tennis ball, you have, if you cut a ball, you know, you have that kind of rubber, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That rubber that is caucho in Spanish, that is like the wheels, no? The rubber of the wheels, the neumático.
Yeah.
Let's say that they have like one more cover, okay? So if you play with tennis ball, you can play with tennis ball. For sure, you can play with tennis balls, but they are going to be faster, a little bit faster. So they are going to jump more.
Okay. Interesting. That's very interesting. Actually, my dad had a question. He's 7 years old, lives in Michigan. He's seen pickleball. He says there's actually a fair amount of injuries in pickleball. I think I kind of, we talked about the injury side, but do you feel that, like, it's a state like Michigan where it's cold, you know, indoor, obviously even Miami, there's rain, there's a lot of sun. So the indoor courts, is that something becoming more popular? And do you see states like Michigan, Midwest states that are colder up north? Is that somewhere that could be popular for the indoor courts to get going?
They will. I mean, definitely will happen. You know what happened right now with, for example, Michigan? I'm absolutely sure if you go to the downtown of Michigan and you you see 50 different people and you ask the same question, do you know what is paddle? No one knows it. Mm. So we are in that moment right now. But when they start knowing paddle, it's going to start more popular. And this, I mean, is the whole world happened the same. Why is not going to happen in Michigan? Yeah. They are going to love it, like everyone. So what is going to happen is that they are going to love it. And afterwards, the venues will start to be indoor places, like, for example, in Sweden. I'm going to tell you one thing. I was imaged from Adidas Padel, okay? And I went in 2014. I went first time to Sweden. They had six courts in whole Sweden, okay? Wow. Six courts.
Six.
At the end of the 20s, or like 7 years later, let's say 7 years later, they had more than 3,000 courts.
Wow.
In
How
a
many
play?
Courts in the U.S. would you say there are? 200?
I saw it the other day, but it was like 300 maybe, or...
Wait, you're telling me in the United States there's only 300? No, not 300 paddle courts.
Or... no, I think...
There's 100 in Miami, or... The 100, I mean, there's
yeah,
30
but it's less than 1,000, for sure. Less.
Wow.
That's what. So imagine what we have. What road we have? The rocket. I mean, paddling in the United States is not even a baby. It's a sperm.
Infant.
Right, wow. Maybe it's a baby. They just became. So
right.
Woof, imagine it's a whole life that we have. If we compare it.
The fact that the barrier to entry for people, like you said, you get to play once or twice and it's fun right away. It's not so frustrating. I think that's huge because like people that it does seem like it's just even my wife, you know, she used to play tennis a little bit. They've hit it a few times. Like they've done a bit of hitting, but like they that's good exercise. They like it. It just like 45%, you said women maybe in some of the places.
In Spain.
Like
in Spain is 7 million players and the 45% is women.
And then you said second largest sport in the country ahead of basketball, ahead of, you know,
and right now in Madrid, the other day I had a newspaper thing became number one in Madrid. This is the capital. So more than football now. Right now, Madrid, the first sport by far is padel.
All right. And I, like I said, I got to cut myself off or I'm going to keep asking you questions. But if you were to say former sports, David Beckham, I used to play soccer. I played in college, Beckham soccer. Give me which sports translate the best kind of, maybe you wouldn't think that make sort of help with not other than racket sports, of course, what sports are kind of like generally, maybe you notice have been good also to translates to padel. Any that come to mind?
Well, for sure. And as you said, racket sports is going to be helpful because you have another reference before. So yeah. It's going to be easier for a tennis player to start playing good paddle. And then I would say in move, how you move, or for example, when I used to train, okay, and movements, pam, 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 is similar than basket. So when I had my personal trainer that I worked 6 years with him, he used to work with professional basket players. And even he came here 3 months with Golden State Warriors. But he told me that how we worked, it was really similar than basket. Let's say that there is something different because padel is not a contact sport. So a basketball player for sure must have like more physique, no, because you're going to make contact with another players. Paddle, no. Paddle, maybe you need to be a little bit more faster, okay? Faster and electric. But with moves, basketball is a similar sport.
Very interesting. I can't say last question, but I'm going to say one of the last questions here. I wanted to ask you about paddle ping pong. What are your thoughts on this? Have you seen it? Have you played it? Because this seems pretty cool. I just saw a video I was just going to show you. I had heard about my dad's like great at ping pong now. He loves it. And I mentioned this to him. He's like, you never even heard of it. But that could actually be something pretty cool. And like, especially in Michigan or certain places where it's cold and just easier and maybe not 60,000 or 40,000 for a court. So tell me your thoughts on this. Have you seen it?
I I think I saw the same video as you because they sent me. It's like it's a green court. Yeah. Look,
pretty crazy.
Look, this is I think this maybe it's in Sweden because if you see at the back side, you see paddle courts.
Yeah.
It looks like an indoor place. So I never tried. I would like to try, and then I would tell you what are my thoughts about it.
Interesting. Yeah, it seems interesting, right? It definitely adds a little more flair to it, but a different game. And again, the world's we'll see it in the Olympics. It's an amazing game. I highly recommend it. And here you got to hear from Peter Alonso, who has been the number one ranked player in the U.S. for padel, and he is doing a lot of different things. We'll be following up with him, and we'll get some videos, some content next time we play. The lesson was very helpful, and I highly recommend getting lessons. And how important is a coach? Like the level, if you say someone's like a pretty good player, because like, I mean, you versus like a good coach, like
I mean, you know, for me, it's not important; it's necessary,
right?
Because it's a new sport, and if you don't know how to learn it properly, it's going to be difficult, no? Look, I have one company that I own. It's called Padel MBA. We are a number one worldwide in coaches certification. And I think it's one of the most important companies that is going to be in our world, because we need to start forming new coaches, because the people with big experience is not so much.
Right.
You know, because our world was a little world. But right now it's a really, really big world. So what you need to make right now is to teach new coaches for the future with the good information. That's really, really important. So after that, when they have good information and they are clever and they get into, they are going to have a process that each day they will get better. So for sure, I'm better coach now than 5 years ago, for sure.
Right.
Because I'm and probably in 5 years I will be even better than today.
Yeah, and the game evolves, right? The serve, the thought, the stance, the positioning, things like kind of get optimized.
How I see, for example, what happened. You saw it. I mean, I changed two things, and I can tell you. Different visual examples. The Mexican hat, the laser, we do like this, boom, 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 because I want your racket making one stuff. So this is hours and hours and hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And also studying about trajectories. We had studied a lot about angles, trajectories, why the people makes. Well, I mean, why the ball makes this? If I have this position with the grip, why I have it to touch it more in front or more at the back? On blah 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 blah. So you have plenty of information, and a good coach is necessary to improve.
Right, and the age gap. My son's 5 years old, just turned five right now. Is he able to start learning and playing, or is it a little too young generally?
What's no, for sure, like, for sure. I mean. You can start with 5, 7, or 8. He is going to start hanging up. Also, you have material for juniors that when I used to play, I didn't have. So we play with so heavy rackets. But right now, you have the junior rackets. So they are lighter and everything. So I would say that, look, in tennis, they start playing mini tennis with 3, 4 years.
Right.
It's kind of the same.
Okay. So yeah, it sort of depends on the kid, but definitely it's not crazy to think a 5 year old could start hitting some balls or get a coaching lesson. You think you could try at 5 or
maybe yeah, more the thing, just, for like, example, what? we have even courses to how to teach, especially for kids.
Right.
You know, how to translate information is a different stuff. You have to make different exercises.
Right.
They are kids, so I mean, they want to have fun, and you know, to have to show them how to have fun, but at the same time, how to give them information that you know that they're going to have it in their brains. So it's a different stuff to train kids and adults.
Right.
So because their goals are different, completely different.
Makes a lot of sense. All right. Well, listen, Peter, like I said, I could literally ask you, spend 5-6 hours. Hopefully we'll do another one coming up here. And again, if you keep me in the loop, I'm very fascinated with the business and how it can go. And also just seems like there's a lot of cool opportunities. And like you mentioned, some unique pairings and places to go. So hopefully we can collaborate on some things and talk more. And again, I appreciate the time very much. And people, please give him a follow, Peter Alonzo Marr on Instagram, as we showed you, and we'll be following along with your on the court success as well as business ventures, and appreciate the time so much.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for your opportunity. For sure, I will tell you what is going on in my world, and I would love to share information with you. And I would love also to have, like, if it's possible after this, like some mini videos or something, and I can share it in my social media, like something that you think that maybe is an interesting point.
Yep.
So we can have different
yeah,
stuff.
No, I'd love to. We'll get you some clips, and again, appreciate it, and hope to see you out there. We'll be training soon enough, and keep it moving. So thank you so much, and congratulations on Ultra. It's very, very impressive place that I know you're on the ground floor of. So yeah, that's awesome to see it develop so fast. Even literally watching it, I saw like the courts last week, and now they're filled up. We have to walk around, and it's coming. When is that restaurant spa going to be done? Do you know?
I think roughly? 3 months more or less.
Okay. Awesome. We'll follow along with that. And again, this is episode number 198 on the Flow Show. Appreciate it. Peter Alonzo will be checking back with him soon. Thanks everyone for watching.
Thank you so much, my friend. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Cheers.